He's so good and so talented that he is a perfect 3-for-3 and a grade one winner as a 2-year-old. And today he looks to get back on track and prove that he is still the real deal in the Tenacious Stakes at the Fairgrounds. And that would be welcome news to Jimmy Bell, who is the president of Godolphin's U.S. operations. He is with me now here on the Equine Forum. Jimmy, good morning, my friend. Always great to catch up.
Good morning to you. I enjoyed hearing that race call. It feels like we're back in action.
You're back in action in a big way today. And, you know, I went through earlier in the show, and I just kind of recapped it very quickly there. But this has been such an up-and-down career for Maxfield, and I can imagine this has to be one of the more frustrating scenarios that you've ever been involved with.
Well, frustrating, yes, but on the other hand, there's a sense of confidence because not too often are you around a horse that obviously shows the talents that Maxfield's had from, you know, yourself breaking your maiden first time out, going right from there into a grade one race, and obviously having another time out coming back and off the bench and to run a race like that and the Matt win. So, I mean, he's in three races, he's shown so much that even though it's been a long time between races, you know, what you always hope for. I don't think one thing we don't question is his talent. And for that reason, we're really optimistic and excited to see him back in action. And more importantly, as you earlier alluded, the patience that everybody has shown, especially Brendan, in bringing him back. And hopefully we're looking for, you know, a very productive 4-year-old season with a full body of work that can maybe show the talents of this colt time and time again. So very, very, you know, we're very excited to be back, and here we are, you know, ready to run in the afternoon.
You know, Jimmy, I come at this from the outside looking in, but you are obviously intimately involved with every move that takes place with Maxfield. And I talked about earlier in the program, I talked about that training job that Brenda did, getting him back to the races after being scratched from the Breeders' Cup in 2019, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, getting him back for the Matt win, but not just back to the races, getting him back and ready to fire his best shot after all that time off and overcoming that initial injury. How good of a training job was that by Brendan?
Well, I think you hit it on the head. I think his whole card is tremendous patience. I think he reads his horses very well. He's the consummate horseman himself. So, you know, he's been both on their backs and on the ground, and I think he's got that extra sense of communicating with horses that he himself, you know, will get on them, and he's got that feel. He knows, and he really lets the horse sort of talk to him and tell him when and where. And we were on the phone just the other day, and he said, you know, we're going to have to run. he's figured it out. He's ready. We know there's still probably a few cobwebs and a little bit of rust on the wheel, but that was the case, obviously, in the Matt win as well. And, you know, it just takes probably a very, very talented individual to be able to not only physically be ready to run, but mentally be ready to run. And that's something we probably don't talk about all the time, is the mental aspect as well. And one of Maxfield's greatest attributes is his mental toughness and just how he is so professional in how he goes about his daily routine. And I think it makes it a little easier for Brendan to read him because he's very genuine. He tells you right where he is. And, you know, you've got to be able to be picking up on all those signs. And Brendan does a phenomenal job at that.
Take me through the past 7 months since that win. In the Matt win at Churchill, Jimmy, what have these past 7 months been like for Maxfield?
Well, again, you know, the good news is that neither one of the timeouts were really, you know, truly significant. We did the right thing by the horse, gave him ample time to completely heal, come back, get back into his own rhythm, and I think that you know, this game is built on hope, and you know that if you just get the opportunity to get him back, he'll take care of the rest, or certainly that's our feeling. And listen, today's no easy. It's never an easy spot coming back. You know, you're in there with a tough horse from Steve Asmussen. You've got to always respect that. Then there's always the hard-knocking older horses. Alstall's got a tough one and locally owned. So this is a great spot to come back in, but it's not an easy spot. But there's also no easy spots when you're out of condition. So you can't just exactly dip your toe in the shallow end. You got to jump in and see where you're at. And you know, this is the beginning. This is, you know, this is just what it is. This is hopefully the beginning of an important year of racing for him.
You were kind enough, Jimmy, by the way, talking with Jimmy Bell, the president of Godolphin's U.S. operations, you were kind enough to join me on this show the morning of the Matt win on May 23rd. And one thing that you spoke about was his pedigree. And he is a son of Street Sense out of a Bernardini mare. Now, I know that that's a pedigree that's near and dear to Darley and Godolphin's heart. But that pedigree, Bernardini, has become an outstanding broodmare sire.
What he has accomplished at his age is you know, really puts him at the top of the chart of broodmare sires, you know, for a long time to come. And, I mean, it's just amazing. You just be casually reading stake entries or the PPs on horse. Oh, that's, you know, that's another daughter Bernardini. That's another daughter Bernardini. And, you know, what he has accomplished is really phenomenal. And, you know, how great it is to have a horse that's going to pass along. We always talk about, you know, sons of sires and sires in the male line, but to be able to carry on and make no mistake, his impact as a broodmare sire will be significant for really, really generations to come, and a foundation for a lot of operations of having those young Bernardini mares.
Jimmy, the news came out this past week. By the way, good luck with Maxfield later today. I'll shift gears on us here. The news came out earlier this week that you were elected once again as president of the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance, and that's an organization that I know from day one has been near and dear to your heart. Talk about the importance of aftercare in this sport, because I don't know, sometimes I think that might get overlooked a little bit when we start talking about all the racing. So tell me about the importance of aftercare.
Well, you know, that's exactly, you hit it right on the head. You know, initially I think we started in 2012, initially it was about just awareness, making people aware of the after racing and what goes on, or it just doesn't stop that day. And so initially just trying to make people aware, and then we moved into educating people, and now understanding more after you become aware, more of the educational process. And today, you know, some 8 years into it, it's now talking about in terms of the obligation. You know, this is part of owning a horse. This is part of having the blacksmith come by. I mean, these are all, taking care of the horse is an obligation as well. So this whole thing has been awareness, education, obligation. And it's not an easy thing to keep drilling on, but I think it's become a part of a plank in the platform of our industry, that I think the industry, everyone involved in the industry collectively understands and recognizes how, you know, that this is a major component of owning a horse and what the industry is doing, and has made tremendous, you know, a tremendous move forward in that regard. I mean, if you look at today, we now have, I think, 81 accredited organizations in over 170 facilities. We've generated over $20 million and probably assisted, I think, 11,000 thoroughbreds. So, yes, very, very significant. And, you know, I think that one of the great things about the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance is that it's sort of gotten the good housekeeping seal. When you're raising that kind of money, people really want to know where it's going, what it's doing. And I've jokingly said many times that I'm not sure how well we would do when they come to inspect and accredit your operation to be able to become accredited by the TAA. I mean, there's an education component. There's, you know, they go through the facilities. People literally go to these places and look at them and talk to them about their adoption policies. You know, they have to be in operation 3 or 4 years before you can even apply to this thing. So we've got the confidence of everybody knowing that this money is going where it needs to be, which is always a question mark when you're making these kind of contributions. But, you know, the TAA has come a tremendous long way, but gee whiz, we got, you know, this is a big, big problem, and it's something that we can't just sort of take lightly, but you got to keep at it for everybody's perspective.
What are some of the things moving forward, Jimmy, that you would like to see accomplished by the TAA and on the aftercare front in general?
Well, I think funding, you know, funding has to be it. And we've got to continue to find ways to be sustainable. I mean, we get some great spikes and some great aha moments where, gosh, that was great, somebody stepped up or somebody did this. But, you know, this is an industry obligation. Initially, when we set this thing up, we tried to make as many small touch points as possible. you know, at the sales, at the racetrack, here, there, and yonder, just a little bit. But it's difficult. It takes a lot of a lot of bookkeeping, a lot of communication, coordination, and you know, one thing that I'm excited about is I look at the board of directors and the people that are involved, from from officials in the racing office to sales companies to people in the jockey club to, you know, everybody's got some areas of expertise and some skill sets that have made this, you know, a very, very significant operation. And to answer your question, you know, we've got to find that magic way to get this thing sustainably funded. It's very hard going back every time and trying to reinvent the wheel. And if we can just get some overall buy-in to where, you know, people understand it's one for all for one, that's where our sustainability comes from. And it's all about, you know, continuing to fund this. As you can tell, with 170 facilities, and I think this year we awarded or granted over $3 million. That's a lot to do every year, and, you know, it doesn't stop. You've got it every year, so it's not like it's a one-time off and we got that done. It's continual.
And now you get to work alongside my man Jeff Bloom, too.
Absolutely. And, you know, glad you brought that up. I mean, John Phillips was the past president. Everybody's had a real skill set that's been at the helm of this thing and brought a unique perspective of what they can do well. And, you know, Jack Wolf initially, you know, did a fantastic job. It was not easy getting this off the ground. And then, you know, I came in for a brief stint and followed up with John Phillips back again. As I said, you can step aside, but you can't step away. And now Jeff is going to take over next year after my year. And, you know, again, there's a guy that's very committed. He understands it. He's been on the ground. He's compassionate about it. And he's got spheres of influence that others of us don't. And, you know, again, everybody brings a little something to the table. And very excited to have Jeff alongside. And he's been a big supporter all the way through.
Well, you can go to thoroughbredaftercare.org if you want to learn more about the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance. Again, Jimmy Bell with me, the president of Godolphin's U.S. Operations and the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance. Jimmy, you would be hard-pressed to find somebody that's a better ambassador for our sport than you, my friend. And I've known you a long time and greatly appreciate all your efforts and everything you do for the sport, and greatly appreciate you taking the time this morning. Happy holidays, my friend.
Well, same to you, and what a great job you do kind of getting a good message out, this, that, and the other. And listen, it's an honor to be a part of this, and whatever little things we can do, hopefully make a little difference. But, you know, just pleased and privileged to be a part of it.
Yeah, thanks for the time, Jimmy. Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Enjoy it. Thanks again. Appreciate being
on. All right.